What is up, everybody? We are back for the second episode of the Beyond the Plate podcast. My name is Lindsay. I'm your host. And I just wanted to get today started off by thanking everyone that showed up and shared and liked and commented and messaged me when we released that first episode of this podcast. When you do something like this, it can feel very vulnerable. You don't know how it's going to be received. You don't know if anybody wants to listen to you or hear what you have to say. And so to feel that rush of support and just the people rally behind me from friends, family, people that I've never met before in different states, it really meant so much to me. And just this little girl inside of me felt so loved and so supported. So I just wanted to start today's episode off with saying thank you. And partly that's the reason why I'm back today with this second episode, ready to dive in again on a new topic and something that is really close to my heart. And starting off, I had a whole slew of ideas that I wanted to talk about today. I had a direction that I thought I wanted to go. And then, of course, life happens and things change. And that's just part of being an adult and adapting. But today is my son's first birthday. A little bit about me, I'm a mom. I have a 4-year-old daughter. She just turned 4 a couple weeks ago. And I have a 1-year-old son now. And for anybody that has small kids or nieces and nephews, cousins, however you want to picture it, that first birthday can really bring about a whole new type of level of feels, right? And waking up this morning and looking at all of his old baby pictures, remembering how he got here, going to the hospital the night before, you just feel all of these things. You feel gratitude. You feel just remembering the last year and how it's come to be and how his life has changed and as a person, and remembering holding this teeny tiny little 7-pound, 14-ounce baby and looking at him this morning now, and he's babbling, he's starting to walk, and just his personality coming through. And obviously you look through those photos and you see older pictures of yourself, of your family. And I was starting to think, man, life looks so different. It's changed so much over the last 365 days, from what our family looks like, to jobs, to my schedule, to Marcus, my husband's schedule, to our house. There's so much that has adjusted and changed. And it feels really drastic and almost like a shell shock feeling of, if you put those 2 days next to each other, side by side, today and 365 days to go, how different they would look. And I started thinking to myself, how in the world did we get here? How in the world has it gone so drastic, and what can feel like such a short amount of time sometimes? Obviously, there's some long days that first year of having a newborn, and especially if you have other kids to handle on top of it and to raise on top of it. There can be some really long days, but in the grand scheme of life, 365 days is really not that long. You think some people are lucky to see that 75 times over and over. So start thinking, how have things changed so drastically? And when you think about the small changes that you make and how much those have added up to the change that I see in my life now and in my family's life now, they feel so big because you make those small changes over time, and then those small changes start to add up and they start to build, and you see this house forming or this road forming, however visual you want to pick it. And I'm putting this idea and this thought together, and you start to see this parallel of, okay, so I have this newborn baby. I'm choosing to raise this baby. I want to grow it up. I want it to be strong. I want it to be healthy. I want to love it. And you see that same parallel when you want to make a change in your nutrition and wellness journey. And so all of a sudden, these little connections are popping up in my mind and how similar it is. And so I kind of just wanted to talk through those similarities and how 365 days, when we start to be consistent and persistent in those changes, how we can build this whole new world for ourselves and this whole new life for ourselves But if you look at those days individually, there doesn't feel like much change, right? Because the change is so small. But when we zoom out and we take a step back, then we see the graph slowly growing up and up and up, and how powerful that is. So I kind of just wanted to talk through that. And, you know, like I said, you're really vulnerable when you start a podcast, I feel. So I'm just pretending like I'm chilling with my girls on a Friday night and we're just chit-chatting about stuff. So how did we get here? 365 days ago, where was I? I was sitting in a hospital bed, really banged up. We're not going to go into the details of how banged up a person's body can be, a woman's body can be after giving birth, right? But it's definitely different than where I'm at now. I had this little baby who I loved so much instantly and had no idea how I was going to start to juggle all the things that I was going to, that was going to be in our life now, raising another daughter and keeping her happy, keeping her at the forefront of our minds and feeling loved as well. And you, like I said, that parallel of these are all the same thoughts and these are all the same struggles, if you want to call them, that somebody has when they start a nutrition journey. When you choose and want to take that step forward of, I want to be healthier, I want to lose a few pounds, I want to get back in the gym, you're not putting all of these other things to the side. You're not just ignoring them. When I gave birth to Shiloh, I wasn't just throwing Gianna, my daughter, off to the side and saying, sorry, I can only focus on him now. When you have a life and when you're an adult, you have to find this balance of these things to make sure that they're all important. And each day looks a little bit different, right? And there's days where you're able to take one kid out and you're able to really focus on them and help them feel special. The same thing happens in your nutrition journey. Maybe one day you're able to get off work early and go to the gym and hit a great training session and you have everything meal prepped and it's just a really, really good day where you're able to focus and prioritize that specific goal. But ultimately, most of our days, and let's just use this course of a year, most of our days, we're trying to find this happy balance. So how do we do that? What small changes can we make to continue to see this progress? So let's go back to this baby example. When you have a newborn, when you have a baby, these small changes, your goal is just surviving the next 24 hours, right? My number one goal is to make sure that my kids are fed, that they are happy and alive and breathing, and that I have some type of aliveness to me. And that's your one thing that you're thinking about, is just getting through the next 24 hours. If I shower, that's a huge win. Making sure my kids are fed and maybe trying to get some type of sleep, if any. In your nutrition journey, it looks the same. How can I make, what's my win for today? Something small that makes me feel really, really powerful and like the day was successful. For some of us, that small change and that small goal is just hitting a step goal. For other people, it's maybe adding one serving of fruit or vegetables to one meal a day. And we want to start really, really small. If I, as a mom who had just birthed a baby a week ago, set a goal for myself, I'm going to get back in the gym, I'm going to be hitting those same numbers that I was before, or the same numbers that so-and-so is hitting today, and that was my number one goal, oftentimes disaster is going to strike, right? One, because I'm not ready for that. My body is nowhere near ready or healed enough for that. Mentally, I'm probably not ready. I could be working out in the gym, but where's the baby? Where's my mind at in regards to that? There's so many components that go into this scenario of, if you try to bite off more than you can chew too soon, it can be really, really disastrous. Not always, but oftentimes it's going to set you back further than it will take you forward. So it's just so much, we see so much more success when we start off small. Those small changes, they're like small pebbles, right? You put these pebbles into this cup and you know, one day at a time, add a pebble here, add a pebble there. And you slowly start to fill up this cup. And eventually this cup becomes this full cup. And I see this clear vase almost. And this vase becomes heavy and you're like, oh my goodness, look at all the progress and the effort that was put into this. And those pebbles become really big stones and it looks really big. But when I put that pebble in, it wasn't a really big stone. When I added that, when I did that effort, it wasn't a huge stone. It was a really, really small action and effort. So how do we keep this up, right? I mean, when you have a newborn, how do you continue to show up each and every day to put those small pebbles and those small actions into your cup? And as I'm walking around the house this morning, two words kept coming to mind that really, I feel like a lot of people can relate to this, parent or not. Those two words were being persistent and being patient, right? Notice that perfection is nowhere in that sentence. Being persistent and being patient. When you are persistent with your efforts, that does not mean that I am doing 100% effort every single day. Maybe some days it's 10% effort. Maybe other days it's 80% effort. If you use the example, this is terrible that this is the example I'm going to use, but of showering, right? It's very realistic. I wasn't showering every day when Shiloh was first born, right? It wasn't a Monday through Sunday type event. It just wasn't happening. I'm just being straight up and real with you guys. If I was able to shower maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that was a huge thing for me, right? Imagine if I was able to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, had a long day on Thursday. Maybe I got a quick shower on Friday and then Saturday, no shower, Sunday shower. If I was so concerned about being perfect, the mindset can really get discouraging and negative. But if I zoom out and I look at the bigger picture, now I've had 3-4 days of me showering and cleansing my body and that effort being there. Same exact thing with nutrition and even wellness and working out. Wouldn't you much rather go to the gym 3-4 days a week than not at all, right? And that is being persistent, continuing to show up and continuing to say, I'm just going to give the best effort that I have today. And whatever that looks like, I'm going to continue to give it. And that is the power of that statement. Persistency, it's not focused on being perfect. It's just focused on continuing to show up for yourself. And I'm a very all or nothing type person, right? That is one of my greatest strengths and one of my greatest weaknesses. If I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it, right? But if I get so obsessed with being perfect, the second that I'm not, then it makes everything else not worth it. It makes me a failure. It makes all my other efforts failures. And if I have that mindset switch of just being persistent and continuing to show up, then what I do and what I'm able to contribute to myself and my family, that is obviously important and that is obviously going to make a difference. But I'm allowing the days where that doesn't happen to not determine my entire story. I'm allowing the days where 100% effort doesn't happen to not determine my entire story. It's just a part of the story, right? And then we move on to patience. One thing in this whole thing is trying to set goals for yourself with nutrition, with raising kids. Maybe with raising kids, it's being less reactive to triggering situations. And that obviously varies from person to person. Maybe with nutrition, you have a goal of trying to run a certain distance in a certain amount of time. And you continue to do that and you train and you train. And maybe the day comes and you have an opportunity and you don't hit your goal. How are you handling that? Where is your mindset when it comes to that? Are you staying patient? Are you allowing that adversity to crush you? Or are you saying, here's another opportunity? Am I allowing myself to see the setback as an opportunity? Am I allowing myself to see failure as feedback? Or am I just seeing it as, oh, I failed. Oh, wow. Now didn't hit my goal. I'm throwing in the towel. With nutrition, a lot of clients who don't have really any type of food awareness coaching, or this is something that's new to them, weekends are a huge thing that we'll talk about. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's like 40-some% of your week right there. If we have a rough day on Friday, or we go out with friends and we have drinks and then we order pizza when we get back, and you wake up Saturday morning and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so disappointed in myself. I can't believe that I did that. And I see that as a failure or a setback. How do I respond to that? Am I staying patient with the process, or am I throwing in the towel? Now the whole rest of my weekend is washed. It doesn't matter. I'm eating whatever I want, or I'm not eating anything at all. There's various responses to that where we're allowing the failure to win, in a sense. We're allowing the setback to take control and control our narrative, in a sense, right? We're not staying patient. We're not zooming out and understanding that that's a part of the process. None of us are perfect. I've never worked with a perfect client. I work with great clients. They're all wonderful, but I've never worked with a perfect client who's never made a mistake. I've never been perfect. I make so many mistakes, even as a coach, even in my own personal and wellness journey, where, oh, didn't do that the best. And how can I learn from this and do it better next time? But that mindset is going to take you so much further than just allowing that failure and setback to determine your story. So how do we stay on track with this? What's some actionable things that we can do? First and foremost, I really, really love for my clients to set small goals for themselves. Just like we said with the newborn analogy, what small goals do I have today? What can I do today to make sure that my life, I feel okay, the baby is okay? What can I do? And we need to slowly start stacking these goals on top of each other. So that doesn't mean setting 7 or 8 goals from day one. I'm going to hit 150 grams of protein today. I'm going to get 12,000 steps. I'm going to go to the gym for an hour. I'm going to meal prep 7 meals. We're not setting all of those things right off the bat, because one, it's really, really overwhelming. That's a huge adjustment to try to make on day one when we haven't been doing any of those habits before, right? So we need to start slower. We don't want to bite off more than we can chew. That's that small pebble mentality. It's that small pebble method that we're sticking with here, right? So what are some small goals that you can set that you know are doable for you? Let's say I work an office job, right? And I sit at a desk 8-9 hours out of the day. And today I average, I don't even know, 6,000 steps a day, right? Tomorrow, if my schedule looks the exact same and we're in the dead of winter right now, I am not going to set a step goal of myself for double those steps, right? That means I have to do double what I was doing in the same amount of time and the same amount of opportunity that I still have. Is it possible? Absolutely. But is it probable that I'm going to be able to do that on a consistent basis to where I see results? Probably not. Some people might be able to do this and they might be able to do it for a while, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be making, it's the best way to take that first step or the best way to feel successful. And maybe there's other ways that we can put in our effort and energy to see results like that. So we want to start slow. And then slowly, as I start to get these habits under control and they just become a natural part of my day. Maybe I set a step goal of 8,000. If I'm starting at 6 and I set a goal of 8, 2,000 more steps. I think I can do that. I have to be more aware and I have to make the effort to do so, but it's doable. And then I have that 8,000 step goal. Once I start doing that, now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start working in fruits and veggies, or I'm going to add in more protein. I'm going to change how I'm getting my protein. You start to just build up these slowly stacked habits. And so then on day one, I was working on one small pebble. I was working on one small change. And then on day 70, now I have 2, 3, 4 in my pocket, right, that I'm doing consistently. And I think sometimes as humans, we get so obsessed with wanting to change everything up so quickly. And then we feel so defeated when we don't complete that perfectly, right? So if, with coaching and with my clients, a lot of people will come in and say, all right, what's tomorrow look like? And I'm like, well, I don't want tomorrow to look too different than today. I just want you to make a few small changes. We feel really successful. We feel really proud. And we see so much more success when we adopt that mentality of smaller is better. And I'm not saying that there's not the person out there who can change up everything and be successful. It's definitely possible, but that doesn't mean that it's probable for everybody. So how do we continue to stay persistent and patient? We set goals. And then the second thing is that positive perspective. How is your mentality, right? What happens when adversity comes? What happens when you fail or when you have a really busy schedule? You go on vacation. How are you handling these things? Are you sitting there and making adjustments? Are we saying, hey, I'm going on vacation this week. Maybe I'm not going to track my food, but I'm still going to be aware of what's going in my body, right? Or, hey, let's say you are training for, I don't even know. Let's say you're doing CrossFit, just because, of course, I'm a CrossFit coach. That's where my mind goes to. But let's say you're doing CrossFit and you have a competition coming up. And let's say the competition's 3 months away and you hurt yourself training or you get injured. Are you giving your body time to heal and rest and recover? That way, by the time the competition is here, you can be 100% or close to 100% and stronger. Or are you pushing through that pain and breaking down your body even more? And then by the time the competition comes, you're in a worse spot than before. How is our perspective when those things come? Are we just throwing in the towel 100%? Are we staying persistent? Are we staying patient? Do I have a handle on even where my mindset and my mentality is? I think everyone is on the spectrum of being a little bit more positive, being a little bit more negative, and that's just personalities, right, too. My husband could probably tell you there's probably a lot of times where he does not want to hear me spend things in a positive way and just kind of allow the emotions to be there. But for me, that's a huge tool in my arsenal. If I can turn this adversity into an opportunity, if I can turn this, okay, well, we have a little bit of a busier day, but let's look at the opportunity that we have in that. That is where so much power lies. That's how we continue to stay persistent. That mindset and that perspective is so powerful. And wrapped up all into that is, how are we avoiding comparison? And that comparison is with others, and even more importantly, with ourselves. Let's revert back to the whole newborn analogy. I was training, I don't even know, a couple hours every single day before I found out I was pregnant with Shiloh. I was training that much, doing this really intense programming, and I was doing that 4 or 5 days a week. I was really, really fit. That fitness came with a lot of sacrifice, but I was really fit. And if I weren't wanted the day, let's even say 3 months after I had Shiloh, if I was so obsessed with comparing myself to that old version where my life looked so different, or even if I was obsessed with comparing myself to the version of me in the future that I knew I could be or that I wanted to be, how is that helping me? How is that furthering my journey? How is that bettering me as a person? Because it's not. It's not. That is one of the most dangerous things. You see all these people on Instagram who are hitting numbers you want to hit or eating exactly how you want to eat. And that comparison does absolutely nothing for you. Maybe it motivates you, right? There's some people who are very competitive. I'm a very competitive person. But that doesn't mean that that's turning into action. And it can get really, really toxic if that's the only thing that's motivating me. My biggest goal for myself, for my clients, for whoever is listening, is what are you doing with the 24 hours that you have right in front of you? Are we comparing ourselves? Are we sulking in that comparison? Or am I looking at this moldable sand that's in my hands right here and saying, what can I make with this? What can I turn this into? What positive small changes am I going to do? That way I can lay out this beautiful brick road or this beautiful house that I'm slowly going to build. And if you continue to just be so concerned with the 24 hours that you have, because who knows how much life we have left on this earth. If I continue to be so concerned with just this 24 hours, how can I show up better for my kids? How can I show up the best for myself? That is where we see our life slowly change over the next 365 days. It's not we don't see it change by obsessing over where we want to be or where we once were. We don't see it change by being negative. We see it change by being, what can I do with the 24 hours that I do have? And that, all of that, if you wrap it up into a pretty teeny tiny bow, when we worry about what we can control and what is possible for us to control in this time, that is where our power is. And that is where we see change. So one day you are going to be in your own version of a hospital bed holding this little baby, just like Lindsay was 365 days ago. And you're going to wonder what life will look like in a year. And it's in that moment, in that opportunity, that you have a chance to say, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? Those small changes that you choose to make in that day and the day after and the day after, that is what adds up to change your life over the next 365 days. That way, a year from now, you can put those 2 days side by side. And it did not happen because you just ripped off the Band-Aid and changed 100% of everything all at the same time. And trust me, I've tried it. And like I said, maybe there's a little bit of success in that. But we want long-term success, not just short-term success. So that is where my thoughts are at for you today. That is episode number 2. I hope that you are able to kind of put together this teeny tiny idea that was in my head and that it made sense to you like it made sense to me. So final thoughts. Thank you so much for everybody for listening. It means so much to me. Go out today, control and contribute to the 24 hours that you have. Hold on to the great moments that it gives you and learn from the tougher moments that it gives you, because ultimately the choices that you make today are going to formulate the life that you live 365 days from now. I hope you guys have a great day. Keep tuning in, keep sharing, and we'll see you back next week.